Blog Talk Radio.
And we're back with 96.5. I'm your host, Robert Hart, and we're broadcasting from Starfort 96 out on Highway 248. And the reason we're here today, we're having another Living History Day. The theme is Colonial Arts and Trade. We're going to speak with a gentleman that does paintings back from the 1700s. Where they mixed all the oils and everything naturally by hand, the way they used to do it back then. Also, I believe there's someone that we'll talk to that'll do some basket weaving. And I believe there's another person that will be doing sewing, and another will be weaving wool, I believe it is. But we'll find out a bit more about that in a minute. Anyway, like I said, we're broadcasting from Starfort 96. 96 National Historic Site. We're on Highway 248, about 2 miles outside of town, just past the high school. In case you don't know, Starfort is the site of the First Battle of the Revolutionary War in the South. It's also the site of the longest siege of the war. And it's also the site of the only existing tunnel that's left over from the Revolutionary War. That's what I call engineering, folks. Anyway, it's a beautiful day, 89 degrees, and we're getting ready to head over to the log cabin. Now, when you first come to the facility, you'll see a log cabin out alongside the road. It was called the Black Swan Tavern, also known as the Logan House. It was a trading post, and the hunters used to bring the furs in. They would trade for their sugar and pepper, all various kinds of spices, gunpowder, that type thing. And that's how the town got started. And from there, they built a livery stable around it, nest, that type thing. And eventually, of course, they had to build a fort. They had skirmishes with the Indians. And then the British were here also. And that's how we got the war with the Patriots and the Loyalists. And like I said, it was all started at the Black Swan Tavern or Logan House. And it's a pretty good building. It was built back in the 1760s, I believe. And it's really authentic. And we'll show you some pictures of that a bit later. And meanwhile, we're going to start talking to a few of the people and find out what they're doing out here today. And learn about the skills and how it was done back then. And I see my first volunteer right here, and he looks like he's hard at work already. Morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning. Very well this morning.
Okay. Can you tell us what you have going on here today?
Well, this is, of course, the park has this Living History Saturday, again today for July. And what I'm demonstrating this morning is an 18th century traveling artist. And it was also called, he was called a limner, L-I-M-N-E-R, in 18th century terms. But I would be painting the natural flora and fauna of the backcountry and an occasional commission for a miniature, that is a small portrait of a person's face. Of course, the days before photography.
Okay.
But what I have here are all natural paint pigments. These are from earth oxides. They're from rust. They're from the earth soils and minerals that are ground up into different colors. And such as yellow oxide, Kaput mortuum, which is a burnt umber. That's a brownish color. We have French ochre. This is from, of course, from soil. It was a kind of a yellowish-brown color.
Okay.
Just examples of some of the primary colors that I would have. And this is my palette here. And I'll mix each one of these colors with linseed oil here in the center.
Okay.
And mix each one of the colors I'll need. And what I'm going to paint this morning is this tree right here. It's a hackberry tree, and then maybe the fence along behind it there just a bit as well.
Okay.
The sky back behind, so I'll be doing that this morning.
All right.
A few tools of my trade here. Brushes of the period would look like these. These were quill brushes, and one reason they call them quill is because the portion right here, this is from a bird feather.
Okay.
And then the hair for the brush is contained within that one end, and a piece of fine wire binds it tightly, Then you have the pencil, this is called here.
Okay.
That's enough. It could be wood, it could be ivory, it could be bone. These two are wood. And I'm taking a little shortcut this morning, and I'm going to use modern brushes.
Okay.
Flat brushes did not come about until up in the 1800s. And the metal ferrules here.
Uh-huh.
But these are the 18th century brushes. I'm taking just a bit of a shortcut this morning.
Okay. I have a quick question.
All right.
How long will it take you to complete the painting that you're going to do today?
I'm going to do it small.
Okay.
They did a lot of small paintings back in the 18th century.
Okay.
This one, I should be able to get this in probably a couple hours.
Okay.
Or so.
But that's some detailed work.
It is. And we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, good luck to you, and we'll check back with you.
Let me show you one quick thing.
All right.
This is, I painted these apples in a bowl some time ago. This was done with all natural paint pigments, all natural colors. I did this last year.
Okay.
So that's how it'll turn out.
Right.
One example of modern colors today is this. They're brighter.
Right.
They're a little more stark. They're
yeah.
pretty. But a little softer tone of 18th century, those earth colors.
Yeah, it looks a little more natural.
That right. way. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thanks very much.
Great
to see you. Thank
all right.
You.
I'll be back.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're going to move over to the ladies who are basket weaving, and she's an expert. I'm going to tell you, folks, she's really good at this, so we're going to get a few golden nuggets from her, I'm sure. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well.
Okay, can you tell us what you're doing today?
Well, today I'm focusing on arts and crafts, and I'm working on pine straw baskets. Pine straw baskets are really high trade commodity in the area because there are tons of pine trees in upstate South Carolina. And baskets down by Charleston, they would make the sweet grass and upstate, they would make the pine straw. And being that money is sometimes scarce, especially in that country, you often use good veg trade.
Right, to farm. Yeah. Okay.
So I'm out here demonstrating how to make the pine straw basket. This is pine straw and string, there's no other materials involved. It makes actually a really sturdy basket, it's almost waterproof. And it's a pretty rare thing to see today, actually. There's very few people that make pine straw baskets. It's kind of a dying art. It was a craft that was originally learned from the Native Indians in the area.
Okay. And how long does it take for you to put together a basket?
Well, a small basket is maybe 4 inches in diameter. It takes probably about 10 hours. So it's very time-consuming. And typically, actually, wouldn't be done so much during the summer, like I'm going right now. It'd be a winter thing by the summer
right.
when you couldn't be outdoors working.
Oh, okay.
To make best use of your time.
That makes sense.
During the summer, you would be out in the garden, or you'd be doing, you know,
right.
various other things. It'd be like a winter type of craft. And because pine trees have needles all year long,
right.
they're available in the winter as well.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And what are you doing today?
Today I'm making a boy's waistcoat, which is actually like a vest.
Very nice.
And these will be worn every day, so.
Okay. And how long does it take to put one of those together?
I've never timed myself. It takes a while.
You could probably get it done in about a day and a half if you worked so intensively, because it's all hand stitching. It took a long time to make a simple garment. People had, you know, usually one set of clothes, one extra
right.
pair where they washed the other set.
Well, once you make them, they last a while, too.
Oh, yeah.
So.
And they leave them patchy and sewing up.
Okay,
so,
yeah.
You never throw out old clothes.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much. And we're going to see if we can find another volunteer. We'll talk with her shortly. She's out here weaving, and she does really great work. We're going to talk with her in a moment. Like I said, once again, we're out here at Starkport 96, Living History Day. We're located on Highway 248, 2 miles outside of town, just past the high school. You'll see a log cabin alongside the road. And like I said, Living History Day, Crafts and Arts is the theme today. It's 10 to 2, free family fun event, so load up the car, bring the kids and the dog, and come on out here and enjoy it. Beautiful day. It's only going to be high of 89,
which is a true blessing after the heat wave we've been having here lately. So I'm out here enjoying this day. People are just starting to come out to the park. And I've seen a few families out here walking around already. I think they're on the walking trail. They said it was their first time here, but they're having a great time exploring the park. And it's a National Historic Site. And it's a really beautiful facility. We have a visitor center here. They also have a short movie that will explain in more detail about 96 and how everything got started here. We have a walking trail that goes all through the park. It takes about an hour or so to go all the way around the park. There are markers along the way that will explain to you different events that happen. Park rangers are out here. They're also very helpful. You can still go out to the fort and actually look at the fort. Originally, the walls were made of dirt. They were 14 feet high. Due to erosion, they're down now to about 4 or 5 foot high, but like I said, you can still see the fort and the stockade and everything else. There's a lot of replicas are still out here. Plus, there's a lot of good stuff going on here today. It's a free family event. So just come on down and enjoy yourself. Once again, we're on Highway 248. Just outside of 96, just past the high school. And look for the log cabin alongside the road. You can't miss it. It's built back in the 1760s, and you just don't see that anymore. We're going to talk with a few more of the demonstrators in a moment here. Just finishing setting up, and people are pulling up as I speak. That says a beautiful day, 89 degrees. We got a break in the heat, so come on out and enjoy it. Free family event. And we'll see you come out here and have a great time. And maybe we can find one more person to say a few words real quick. And how are you today?
Good. How are you?
All right. Can you tell us what you're going to be doing out here today?
I'm going to be letting kids or adults too. Try their hand at colonial writing with a quill, and then we have some stamps for the wax seal.
Oh, okay.
So they'll get to do that. Maybe pretend like they're writing a message to their commander. And,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, you don't see that every day.
No.
That should be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And we're going to see if we can find another volunteer real quick. And see if we can find out a bit more information. Like I said, we're going to be out here from 10 to 2 today. And I said people are pulling up in the park as we speak. So come on down and enjoy yourself. Have a great time. Like I said, they're going to have a wide variety of activities going on here today. It's always a fun place to learn and have a great time. And we're trying to get our last volunteer to say a few words before we go off the air. We will be doing a Periscope from here shortly. You can follow me on Periscope, Robert Hart, H-A-R-T. Or at Starfort 96. We'll probably start the Periscope between 10:30 and 11, so we can give you more visual of what's going on out here today. And this is a beautiful facility. Every time I come out here, I learn something new. I have lots of fun, meet some great people, and we got our last volunteer here to find out what's going on, and she's on her way, and we're going to learn a bit more about weaving today. And hello, how are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Okay. And what are you doing out here today?
I'm spinning wool and weaving wool, weaving the what I spin. That's what I'm doing. So,
and what will be the finished product?
Finished product I'm getting ready to take this apart, and since I finished this, this was a...
The belt? Or?
Actually, I think it was a set of garters. Yes.
Oh, okay.
A set of garters.
Okay.
Keep my stockings up. Or my son's britches. But I think I'm going to... I've got enough yarn. I'm going to make a strap. A belt.
Oh, okay.
Sash. But, that's what I'm doing today. So, I'm working with natural wool. It's not dyed. Last time I was out here, I worked with dyed wool, and I went home, and my apron was dyed, and my hands were dyed.
And it took you 3 or 4 days to get rid of all the dye.
Off my hands are running too bad now.
Okay.
Off my apron. Yeah. Just light colored.
Okay.
But, so the whole process, I take the wool and I card it out to line up the fibers so that I'll be able to spin it. You can't just take it straight off the sheet. You've got to card the wool, line, like I said, it's aligning the fibers and to make it easy, to make it able to be spun.
Well, I'm going to let you get set up.
Okay.
And we'll be back in a few minutes to do a video so people can see more of what you do. All right. Thank you for your time. And once again, like I said, we're broadcasting from Starfort 96, Highway 248, 2 miles outside of town, just past the high school. It's Living History Day from Fences to the free family fun event. It's only 89 degrees. They'll load up the car and the dog and come on out and have a great time. In a few minutes, we're going to be starting a Periscope from here live. So you can see more of a visual of what's going on here today. And I guess that's a wrap for now. I'm your host, Robert Hart, and signing off. Bye for now.